From the time I was born, I very early on through my brother Doug was initiated into what I call a life of service. So this dedication to being of service to the world has just kind of been my journey. And my dad, who came back from World War II and believed that you went to school, you got a bachelor's, PhD, and master's in the same field. That's what you did. That was the logical thing to do. And then he has this daughter who I debated between going into nursing and special education when I went off to college. And my parents said, "You can't be a nurse." And I said, why? They said, "You're scared of needles." Good point. And they said, "You have too tender a heart." That interesting. So I ended up doing special education. I got a degree in deaf education, and I ended up teaching multi-handicapped deaf children and various kinds of multi-handicapped children. And so I did that, and I loved that. And one of the things I found, though, was that when we needed medical care, there was nobody in the medical industry that seemed to feel comfortable, or very, very few. And so I got this stirring to go back to school, and I decided I wanted to become a nurse. My parents had the same reaction, and I said, "I'll get over the fear of needles." And I said, "And you know what? I believe, do I have a tender heart? Absolutely. But I think if I can walk through things with people and hold them in my heart, it will be worth it. It's a calling. I need to do it." And they said, "Okay, Pam, you take the summer and you go work as a nurse's aide. And if the end of the summer, when you've done the scout work, you're still interested, then we'll talk." Guess what? Loved it. Loved it. And I went back to school and became an RN. And I worked in a variety of things, pediatric ICU, school nurse. I became the deaf education nurse for the Dallas School District while I was working as a ministerial assistant at Unity just before I went to ministerial school. And I did case management. I ended up in the corporate insurance thing doing case management back in the day when you could make a positive difference. That shifted dramatically. And I was about ready to resign, and I got laid off because we had a corporate buyout and restructure. My best friend Kay had been diagnosed with a brain tumor. I've shared this, given brief time to live. And so I thought, if I was going to do anything, what would I do? I loved my volunteer work as a hospital chaplain at Parkland. So life unfolds, and I get to go to Unity Village. And I go in October, and when I go back in May, I get the calling to apply. So I did, and much to my surprise, I was accepted. In the meantime, I'd met Lane. I'd sworn I was never going to go back to Texas, and I meet a Texan. Spirit has a great sense of humor. So I went to ministerial school, and when I applied, I said, "I don't want to do a church. I want to do an alternative ministry." And they say, "You can't say that in the interviews or you'll never get in." So I went for a long walk at the lake, and I was like, I've got to be spiritually honest. If it means I don't get in, I don't get in. I've got to be honest. So I was, and Anne Marie and I sat next to each other. Some of you have known her. We opened our letters in the chapel. They brought all of us in after the interviews and the tests and the panels, and we each got an envelope, and they said, "Okay, everybody open your envelopes now." We opened ours, and it was either a redirection letter or it was a yes, you've been accepted. Anne Maria and I opened our envelopes, looked at each other, and burst into tears because we'd both been accepted. The upperclassmen who were in the back of the chapel came forward, put their arms around us and said, "It's okay, you can always apply again. You have to apply usually at least twice, if not three times, before you get in." And we're like, "No, we got in." So it's been quite an adventure. I'm not lost, I'm exploring. I've been exploring things my whole life. So when I began ministerial school, I got my really kind of first real Bible that I really worked with, and I wrote this in the front. This was written July the 20th, 1992. My covenant. I commit myself and my life to the path of unconditional love and to the way of the peaceful heart. I hereby covenant to truly be one who listens to inner guidance of the heart and who willingly responds with, "Here I am, send me." I hereby covenant to truly hold thy people in my heart and to willingly walk with them side by side in the spirit of love, light, and truth wherever that path may lead. I hereby covenant to truly grow in depth and breadth of prayer, faith, and spirit all the days of my life, and to openly and lovingly share that transformation with those whom God brings into my life and into my heart. And thereto I dedicate all that I am, all that I can be, all that I will be, body, mind, heart, and soul, to the path of the Christ and to the way of true unity and love. In hopeful faith, I signed it with the initial P. I wanted to read it straight from there. So that was how I started. Swore I'd never do church. I can still hear Spirit giggling in the background. I'm one of my handful of classmates who are still serving and doing church. So my classmate thinks this is absolutely hysterical. They love it. And so I did church in Texas. I did Denton. And then I was part of a team of ministers in Richardson. And then our best friends, Sarah and Jim, moved to Port Townsend. And one morning, Lane and I were having coffee, and I said, "Last night, I had this dream that it's time to go visit Sarah and Jim in Port Townsend." And I said, "Can we do that?" And he said, "Well, sure, let's start planning." And I said, "Well, what I got was, see if you can guest speak at the Unity Church so you can just get to know the people that are up there." And because we love to meet Unity people all over the place. And so I finished my coffee. I went in and opened my computer. And there in the in-basket was an email from the Association of Unity Churches, and it said, "Unity Port Townsend." Okay. Click on it and open it up, and it's from David DePreet, who was the board chair at the time, saying, "We are looking for guest speakers at Unity of Port Townsend. We're between ministers. If you'd like to come guest speak, please email me or call me," and all the contact information. So I did it. And I got to come speak. And the very first time I spoke here, it was the outdoor service at the DePreet's. And there was a group that was, Ramana and Daniel. And in the course of the service, they did this beautiful song about willing embrace. Here are some of the words. I actually did that in my article, my first article, before I even came. "We come together to be the answer, to be the vessel of love, receive light from above, to be the dance and the dancer. It's only love, seeking love, in our willing embrace." And that song, when I was praying one afternoon about what to do, that song clicked on the CD player and started playing. I had a few hints along the way. Another one that's really interesting, Lane and I have discovered that before we actually met at Unity at the karaoke night, was an interesting way to meet, huh? Was that there were two parties we were both supposed to be at, and one of us had to miss each one for a reason, and we were also at the same Neil Diamond concert within seats of each other before with ex-partners. But we realized that, like, Spirit was kind of going, come on, come on. Well, when I was in Texas, I used to get a new printed newsletter, how's that for the olden days, from Unity Central, and they would list all of the listings of the churches that were looking for ministers. One of them I read, and I was like, oh my gosh. I said, Lane, are you willing to leave Texas? Yeah, right. And I knew it wasn't the right time, but there was something in this call from this place. And so I set it aside, and I thought, I'm going to see what happens with that. And so I get the next newsletter, and I find out that one of my classmates and his wife just took the position, and it was Julie Montag and Roy Ayers taking Unity Port Townsend. I had the call for a minister in my desk and in my prayer pile for the ministers that came before me. You guys were tickling my heart way in advance. And then we came up, and we did the outdoor service, and I spoke two Sundays, and the second Sunday, the board came up and said, we're searching for a minister, we've got a number of applicants, but people have been calling all week, will you please apply? And I was like, oh, I don't see how I can do that right now. Miriam Holcomb, who earlier in the service said, don't forget me, was an artist. She loved rainbows, for those of you who remember Miriam. And she came up to me at the outdoor service, and she said, you're our minister. And I said, well, I am for today. I'm just a guest speaker. She said, no, you're our minister. And she said, have you applied? And I went, no. She said, well, you have to. You're our minister. And I'm like, well, I need to talk to my husband. You're our minister. And she said, Port Townsend is like Brigadoon. It calls its own. And against all odds, if you're supposed to be here, just like that Scottish village that appears out of the mist, and if you're supposed to be there, you get to go with them when they go back into the mist, Port Townsend will call you. And she said, you just watch and see. So we go back to Texas. Lane and I navigate, what are we going to do? Are we going to apply? I had some health challenges, which for him was like, oh, we need to stay put. And it's like, no, I need to explore. If I've got limited time, I've got to do the most with it. And so we went to a counselor who was a Methodist minister that was wonderful, that we would see sometimes. And he said, why don't you explore the possibility? And he said, I normally don't do this, but I need to tell you all a story. And he said, my wife and I had been married for years. Both of our kids were either in college or high school. We were done. And she said, I want another baby. And for a long time, she kept saying, I want another child. I know we're supposed to have another child. And he's like, no way. And so finally, she kept at him. I told Lane when we married, at some point, we've got to live somewhere other than Texas. And so the opportunity comes here. Well, what he said, we went to a Methodist minister and decided, okay, let's just see what happens. So he said, we'll go off birth control for 6 months. And if you get pregnant, we'll have the child. If you don't, you go back on birth control and we never talk about this again. She got pregnant the first month. We were pregnant with Port Townsend as soon as we met all of you. And so up we came. And the calling from Port Townsend that I found that was in the newsletter that called, you know, all the other applicants as well. The beauty of Port Townsend is unique, and just as unique are the residents of this small seaport community. How true is that? Truer words were never spoken. Our congregation is characterized by individuals who've walked a variety of spiritual paths and are seeking ways to blend all of life's experiences into an understanding of ourselves as spiritual beings. Unity of Port Townsend has been blessed by ministers who've made the teachings of Jesus Christ more real, comprehensive, and useful to us on a day-to-day basis. This is an area of growth and understanding which we wish to perpetuate through Sunday services and classes. This church seeks a minister who will teach us, inspire us, and journey with us in our quest to realize the truth of who we are. We relish the chance to join with our next minister to co-create a whole that is far greater than the sum of its parts. How could I not say yes? And Lane said yes, and we've never looked back, and our kids have said, we've never seen either of you happier than since you've been here in Port Townsend. And 20 years ago, I'll let you all know that before this, I never stayed at the same job for more than 4 or 5 years. Ever. And so this is a spiritual match and calling, and you truly are spiritual family. And the thing that I got to share with you this morning when I was in my office is I'm going to share something that's part of my every single Sunday here. These are images that are postcards that I blew up, put in frames that I found at the children's hospital recycle shop for $3 a frame. And these are images from the chapel at the bottom of the hill at St. Balm, where Mary Magdalene's cave is, which of course is one of my favorite places. And I picked three of the postcards to blow up, and they're on the wall of my office. You can come look at them anytime you'd like. And I use them to inspire me every single Sunday. Before I step out of my office, I commune with these. So the first one is Magdalene here, and Jesus is in the distance. She's standing on like the front porch of a house. This reminds me to walk through the world and to be present with all of you and with anyone that life sends my way. This is about living presence and being the embodied faith that you seek to express. The next one is Magdalene up at the top, up at the entrance to the cave, high above the valley, where the house is down below. And this one reminds me to always try and take the higher view of whatever is going on, to open to receive the light and the wisdom that I never would have come up with on my own, and to receive that from that higher viewpoint. I saw Carlos Santana interviewed this morning, and they said, you know, your music is so much a part of who you are. It's not just something you do. And they said, how do you view it? And he said, I see people as flowers in a garden. The water is the music, and I'm the hose. Isn't that great? So this is being a channel of that divine flow. And then the third image is Mary Magdalene surrounded with the angels. And this reminds me that I'm not doing it. I'm willing to be a channel for those blessings, to be part of that willing embrace, and that I'm blessed because I feel those spiritual presences all around. I felt them since I was a child, which I am so grateful for. And they're here, and I call these in to be with all of you when things are going on. So those three images inspire me to be embodied, to seek the higher view, and to open to miracles and to all of the wonderful things that come beyond. So I have to say thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me a home, for giving me family and friends, for taking the calling that I had all those years ago and turning it into something that I've dedicated my life to and will continue. I'm not retiring. I'm not celebrating 20 and retiring, because Spirit says, oh, honey, you got lots more to do. So to have this marker and to realize 20 years is just amazing. And so I thank all of you from the bottom of my heart. And I am so, so grateful. And we're going to do a song in a minute that's one of my favorites. This one, actually, I said we've got to do when we were in the process of deciding what we were going to do about this calling I had here and our life in Texas. Lane and I were curled up in our California king bed, wouldn't fit in our bedroom up here on a bed, watching a concert. And this song came on and played. And Lane turned around, and I was there just sobbing, going, I want to dance. And he got it. His heart heard me. And so this song was the moment that he and I said yes, not only to the dance of each other, but to the dance of all of you. So please stand, and we're going to do I Hope You Dance, which is just one of my favorites.